Welcome to another beautiful Lord's Day. All right, so to start, we're going to continue with the old law found in Exodus to Numbers. But before we begin, this is where we've been thus far. The introduction, we defined clean and unclean animals, and then ceremonial uncleanness. So before we begin, I just wanted to see if there's any discussion, questions that, as a group, we could talk about. I just want to make sure no one's confused, because these are building blocks for what's going to happen today and what's going to happen over the next couple weeks. Okay. Any questions? Comments? Okay. Let's move on to today's topic, law of sacrifices. We're going to talk about the sacrifices, the types, what was required. This is going to take 2 weeks. This is a big deal, a big topic. So first of all, we're going to expand on what we learned and discussed the last 2 weeks. First of all, we're going to talk about general rules for all the sacrifices. So the first thing, the animal had to be acceptable to be sacrificed. So what are acceptable animals? Obviously, the clean animals. So the sheep, oxen, bull, goats, they had to be clean, and they were defined as split hooves, and they chew the cud. When it came to the birds, pigeons and turtle doves, they were the birds that weren't part of the unclean fowl list. In other words, they weren't birds of prey. So that was the first requirement. They had to be a clean animal. Second, we had to have a condition for the animal. So if we go to Leviticus chapter 22, verses 19 through 25, I'll read that. So the condition of the animal, Leviticus 22:19, it says, "For you to be accepted, it must be a male without defect from the cattle, the sheep, or the goats. Whatever has a defect, you shall now offer, or it will not be accepted for you. When a man offers a sacrifice of peace offerings to the Lord to fulfill a special vow or for a free will offering of the herd or the flock, it must be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no defect in it. Those that are blind or fractured or maimed or having a running sore or eczema or scabs, you shall not offer to the Lord, nor make them make of them an offering by fire on the altar of the Lord. In respect to an ox or lamb which has an overgrown or stunted member, you may not present it for a freewill offering, but for a vow it will not be accepted. Also, anything that has its testicles bruised or crushed or torn or cut, you shall not offer it to the Lord or sacrifice in your land. Nor shall you accept any such from the hand of a foreigner for offering as the food of your God, for their corruption is in them. They have a defect, they shall not be accepted for you." So there's a lot of things here that are requirements in terms of the condition of the animal. So in summary, it had to have no defects, without blemish, had to be perfect. And he gives specific examples of what imperfection was. So God is very specific and provides those examples in verses 22 through 24. The other thing, it says male. So typically a sacrifice was a male. We're going to look at one today where a female was acceptable. The other thing is it can't come from a foreigner. So this is interesting in verse 25 that they're corrupted based on the foreigner outside of the Jews. So probably the one that comes to mind, there's a few examples of this in the Old Testament, but in 1 Samuel 15, that's where King Saul was commanded by God to destroy the Amalekites, including all their animals. And then when Samuel came to visit King Saul, he heard all these animals singing in the background, and he asked Saul, "Did you finish the job?" And he said, "Yeah, I finished the job." And he said, "Why are all these animals here?" But he disobeyed God. And so Samuel pointed out to King Saul that he had sinned. He didn't destroy King Agag, and nor did he destroy all the animals. And this is the famous quote that you've heard many times, where Samuel says, "To obey is better than sacrifice." So that's an example of, you know, God's law and God's telling the people to follow the law, and he's disappointed that they did not follow his command. The other thing is the age of the animal. In chapter 22 of Leviticus, verse 26 through 8, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'When an ox or a sheep or a goat is born, it shall remain 7 days with its mother, and from the eighth day on, it shall be accepted as a sacrifice of an offering by fire to the Lord. But whether it is an ox or a sheep, you shall not kill both it and its young in one day.'" So there's rules on that too. So it's very interesting. So now, what does that mean in terms of us today in the New Testament? So what we need to do is turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 18 and 19. Could I get a volunteer to read 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19? Okay.
"For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ and the Lamb without blemish."
Okay, verse 19 is the key. They're calling Jesus the Lamb, unblemished and spotless. So let's go back to the old law. Number one, a lamb. A lamb is classified as a clean animal. Jesus is called the Lamb of God. Condition of the animal, it says blameless, unblemished. So Jesus is perfect here. Jesus is a male, okay? And Jesus is a Jew. He's not a foreigner. So the sacrifice of Jesus is acceptable based on the old law. So lamb, male, and a Jew, and condition without blemish, perfect, he's sinless. So that's why the sacrifice of Jesus is so perfect, and it's so amazing. All right, so now let's go back to Leviticus chapter 1. Back to Leviticus, but in chapter 1. And there's a few more things that we have to talk about, which were general rules of all the sacrifices. I'm going to start in, I'm just going to read verses 4 and 5. Let's see here. Yep. Leviticus 1, 4 and 5. It just says, "He shall lay..." This is what is done by the offerer. The offerer has the animal, and they have to do some work too. So here's what the offerer has to do. He shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, that it may be accepted for him to make atonement on his behalf. He shall slay the young bull before the Lord. And then it continues on. So he has to lay his hand on the head of his of the sacrifice. The purpose was to identify the offerer with their offering and indicate the animal is their substitute. That's why they lay the hands. They want to make it very deliberate and very purposeful. The other thing is the offerer had to slay the animal. They actually cut the throat, not the priest, but the offerer. So they drew the blood. Now, what was done with the blood? And that's in Leviticus 1, verse 5. And Aaron's sons, I'll start at the beginning. "He shall slay the young bull before the Lord." That's the offerer. "And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall offer up the blood and sprinkle the blood around on the altar that is at the doorway of the tent of meeting." So you can see that the priest, his role is to sprinkle the blood on the altar. And since only the priest handled the blood, this indicates that the blood was the most holy element of the sacrifice. Okay, and then where does it take place? It says at the doorway of the tent of meeting, or the tabernacle, at the doorway. Okay, so those are the basic rules of the sacrifices. So now what I'd like to do is go into the different sacrifices. There's five total. They take up, they're recorded in Leviticus 1 through 5. Each chapter, 1 through 5, talks about the five different offerings. Today, we will discuss the first three. That's all we'll have time for. Next week, we'll discuss the balance. The first three were voluntary, and the result was a soothing aroma to God. So they are, in Leviticus chapter 1, the burnt offering, Leviticus chapter 2, the grain or meal offering, and the drink offering, dealing with food, and Leviticus chapter 3, the peace or fellowship offering. So we'll go through those today, and we'll discuss those and kind of get a fair understanding of them and read about it in primarily Leviticus. So let's go to the burnt offering first. Leviticus chapter 1 is where it details that. But before we begin, burnt offering was not a new concept. If we go back to Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Genesis 8:20, this is with Noah. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. So back in the time of Noah, the patriarch, God had communicated to Noah about burnt offerings, what they were, how to do them. It just wasn't recorded for us to read today. So now we're in the book of Leviticus, which is the handbook of the priests, primarily telling the priests, here's the details of how to do the burnt offering. Okay, so the purpose of the burnt offering, it's not stated in the Bible. It's the most common sacrifice, and it's performed the most often. It's an animal sacrifice which totally consumed the fire on the altar. Only the hide was saved. So, burnt offering, here's an easy way to remember it. God doesn't want his steak medium or well done. God wants his steak burnt. Only burnt, okay? So just think of it that way, and you'll be able to remember it. So, everything's burned up on the altar except the hide. And then, in chapter 1, it talks about the details of different animals. So in verses 1 through 9, it talks about animals from the herd. In verses 10 through 13, it talks about animals from the flock. And in verses 14 through 17, it talks about birds. And these are listed in descending order of value, the herd being the most expensive animal and the bird being the least expensive. So there's order to this in the book of Leviticus. All right, so what I'd like to do here is read Leviticus 1. And we'll read this one in detail. It's only 17 verses. The rest of them are, the other chapters, 1 through 5, all along the same lines, very similar, okay? And I don't think we need to go spend a lot of time talking about how to cut the animals up. But I would like to let you take a look at chapter 1. And what I want you to do is take a note of the details that God demands. Just when we read, go through it, just think about the details. And then we'll talk some after that. So I'll go ahead and read it. Take a sip of water here. All right, so Leviticus 1, I'll read the whole chapter, 6 to 17 verses. Then the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when any man of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of animals from the herd or the flock. In his offering, as a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer it a male without defect. He shall offer it at the doorway of the tent of meeting that he may be accepted before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering that it may be accepted for him to make atonement on his behalf. He shall slay the young bull before the Lord, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall offer up the blood and sprinkle the blood around the altar that is at the doorway of the tent of meeting. He shall then skin the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire on the altar and arrange wood on the fire. Verse 8. Then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall arrange the pieces, the head and the suet, over the wood which is on the fire that is on the altar. Its entrails, however, and its legs shall wash with water, and the priest shall offer up smoke, all of it, on the altar for a burnt offering, an offering by fire, of a soothing aroma to the Lord. Verse 10, but if his offering is from the flock of the sheep or of the goats for a burnt offering, he shall offer it a male without defect. He shall slay it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord, and Aaron's sons of the priest shall sprinkle its blood around the altar. He shall then cut it into pieces with its head and its suet, and the priest shall arrange them on the wood which is on the fire that is on the altar. The entrails, however, and the legs he shall wash with water, and the priest shall offer all of it and offer it up in smoke on the altar. It is a burnt offering, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. Verse 14, but if his offering to the Lord is a burnt offering of birds, then he shall bring his offering from the turtle doves or from young pigeons. The priest shall bring it to the altar and wring off its head and offer it up in smoke on the altar, and its blood is to be drained out on the side of the altar. He shall also take away its crop with its feathers and cast it beside the altar eastward to the place of the ashes. Then he shall tear it by its wings, but shall not sever it. And the priest shall offer it up in the smoke on the altar, on the wood which is on the fire. It is a burnt offering, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. Wow. Okay, so we have a detailed God. He's talking about east, he's talking about north, he's talking about what to do with the entrails. I mean, we have a God that's very specific, very detailed. So, our response should be that way too. Just something to think about. So if we go back in, so the blood again was sprinkled on the altar. The priest arranged the pieces on the altar. A portion of the animal was not offered, and that was the hide. That was cut off, and that was actually given to the priest. In Leviticus 7:8, it actually tells us, Leviticus 7:8, also the priest who presents any man's burnt offering, that the priest shall have for himself the skin of the burnt offering which he has presented. So the priests were able to keep the hide of the animals. And then also the crop and the feathers of the birds, they were not part of the offering. The hide was not part of the offering. So, yes? Hide is the skin. The skin, the fur. The fur.
So the hide goes to the priest?
Goes to the priest.
So what's the priest going to do with the hide?
Leather. Yeah. So what we'll see is the priests provide a service. Okay, they don't produce a good. And so these sacrifices help sustain life of the priests. God took care of them in this way. Yeah, it's... Okay, and then the other thing is this: it's a continual burnt offering. Continual because the fire never went out. And so they'd have two lambs that would be offered daily, one in the morning and one in the evening. But during, in between, the fire kept going. So they called this a continual burnt offering. And again, look at verse 9, 13, and 17. I won't read them, but at the end of each of those verses, 9, 13, and 17, it says, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. So keep that in mind. We'll continue on. Okay, that's all I have for burnt offering. Any other?
So this was one person that there were like maybe
Yeah.
So they wouldn't.
It was a busy place. Yeah.
So they could have like thousands of one day.
Well, it could be. This was a free will offering, is my understanding, and I don't know what the frequency was, but yeah, there were many, many Jews and a number of priests, but you had one tabernacle or temple.
There was only one fire?
That's my understanding. That's my understanding. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like really, really good.
Yeah. So thank you for that information. No, not the high priest. The high priest, Day of Atonement, and we're going to talk about that for one week session. Good questions, though. Thank you. Any other discussion, questions on burnt offerings? Becky, do you have something? Yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do something different. Instead of going right into the New Testament now, we're going to talk about the three offerings, and then we'll summarize it at the end with the New Testament. Okay? And how that applies to us today, and how it points to Jesus. All this points to Jesus.
It's interesting that you provide for those who are more impoverished. Wait a second.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Yeah. Same. Okay. Good point. Good point. So the purpose was the same, and the result was the same. I've never done it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, God was looking. Yeah.
But to God, it was still Romans.
When you think about it, it's kind of messy. It's kind of yucky. You know.
And at the same time, the fire cleaned all that up.
Yeah. True. Yeah. Yeah. Just sprinkled on the altar. That's where the blood went. On the altar, yes.
So it was burnt?
On the altar. Could have been on the side. It could have been on the top. I think it was just all over. It just says on the altar. Yes. The offerers, the one that slit the neck.
So did women?
Okay, yes, you're right. Except for the bird. Yeah, the priest, I think, broke the neck, is what we read.
So did women?
I guess not. Every time it says he in here, he shall slay the young bull before the Lord. He shall lay his hand. So every time it's referencing a man, he. Yeah, so it's just a man. Yeah.
It's not gender. I don't believe
it. Okay. Yeah, I When I read he here, I think it's a man. I mean.
So like a widow.
Like a widow.
What would she do?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Well, what do you mean a widow?
Who doesn't have a husband?
If she needed, like,
yeah, maybe someone in their family. Yeah, that's a good point. I think they lived as extended families. Good questions. I'm not an expert. But yeah, good questions though. And yeah, feel free to, you know, speak up and answer. I mean, we're all here to learn together.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, that's something I hadn't considered. I'll research it, and I'll let the class know what I find. So, okay. So let us get through next week's sacrifices too, and then I'll research it and see what I can find about widows and these sacrifices. Just a learning, something to learn. Okay, good questions. Thank you. Let's move on to the grain or meal offering and the drink offering. Again, the purpose is not stated. This is found in Leviticus chapter 2. It's not an animal sacrifice. A portion of this offering was consumed by the priests. Normally accompanied the burnt offering and the peace offering, found in Numbers 15. So it wasn't a standalone offering. So in verse Leviticus chapter 2, verse 1, let's look at the composition of grain or meal offering. Now when anyone presents a grain offering as an offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. Okay, so fine flour. It can't burn by itself, and it has no smell. The oil aided in the combustion process of burning the flour. And then the frankincense ensures that there's an aroma that's a pleasing to God. So hopefully you see how this food offering, it all fits together, and it parallels the animal offering. So after sacrifice, the remaining portion went to the priest, and only the priest, not even his family, just the priest for food. And I'll just point out a few keys. We're not going to read the whole chapter like we did chapter 1, but Leviticus 2:11, it talks about, I just want to read this here. No grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall not offer it up in smoke, any leaven or any honey, as an offering by fire to the Lord. So this is a weird combination to me, leaven and honey. I'm not a baker, so it's kind of foreign to me. So I went out and sought help, and so I went to my book here, the New American Commentary that I've read out of before for the book of Leviticus, the commentary. And so let me just read what this author says, and it was interesting. It says, two possible reasons have been offered for the prohibition of leaven. Number one, leaven material along with honey would be prone to ferment and decay and thus would change the nature of the offering. And number two, leaven and honey were used in pagan worship practices in the ancient Near East. So they were prohibited as sacrifices here. So it's just interesting to see what was said about that. That was a weird combination to me. You have a comment?
Yeah, okay. I was just going to say, those may be the reason.
Yeah.
But another possibility is that God is just shadowing what leaven would come from. There could be sin.
Yes.
It doesn't have to have cultural reason. One thing that jumps out, you may...
Go ahead.
Are you going to bring up Mary with oil?
No.
So if you go back to the beginning of the chapter, this is kind of fascinating. So you you remember near the end of Jesus' life, Mary comes, she's cleaning his feet, mm-hmm. washing it
with the oil.
And then she's putting the fragrant oils on his feet. And Jesus said, so they try to stop her.
Yep.
And Jesus says, don't do that, because what she's doing for me is for my spirit, is sacrifice. And very well that what he's talking about refers back.
Okay, good point. I hadn't considered that. That's an excellent point.
And then one other thing. The other thing is interesting. On the section 4 to 10, it talks about bringing the wafer offering, and how that it has to be broken.
Okay.
Again, tying that to the supper. Passover, breaking the bread directly has parallels.
Okay.
God said.
That's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, I hadn't considered those details. So thank you, Brian, for sharing those with the class.
I like this way we'll come back. This is the original.
Mm-hmm.
The original commandments of love. It's interesting how over the centuries, the priest.
Malachi. Yes.
And make it easier, maybe simpler, maybe cleaner, maybe less messy, I don't know. But by the time we got to the, certainly by the prophets and judges, and they were really, well, they weren't doing this at all. They
yeah.
were keeping it sort of away, and the priests were taking parts of the animals that they weren't yep. allowed to, and
yeah, excellent points. All I can say is men will be men, and that's where it goes, is corruption and greed and all of that. And it's sad to say, and we will talk about the priests and the corruption of the priests coming up in Malachi. Yeah. So I read something last night that the priests, by the time Jesus came along, the priests were the richest people of the entire society, because they had taken everything from all these offerings, and they were the top echelon of riches. That's true. That's true. Yeah, good point. So, this is all great. I appreciate the discussion, and it's really cool to see how all this ties together. And again, the old law is a complete foreshadow and points to Jesus. So, this is great. Yeah. Yep. Well, you had the whole tribe of Levi, the men at a certain age, the ones that weren't retired, and we'll talk about that later. They were there as the priests and the high priest to service the entire nation of Israel. So there's a lot. I don't know how many Jews, I mean, how many priests there were at any one particular time, but they had to do this for, you know, a million plus people. Okay. Yeah, shift work. Okay. The other thing is it must have salt. So take a look at chapter 2, verse 13 of Leviticus. It says, every grain offering of yours, moreover, you shall season with salt, so that the salt of the covenant of your God shall not be lacking from your grain offering, and all your offerings you shall offer salt. So God's commanding salt to be offered with the sacrifices. So we know salt is a preservative. It changes the flavor, but it's a preservative. It's a symbol of the remembrance of the enduring covenant between God and his people. The covenant can't be destroyed by fire or decay. So the salt prevents decay or as a preservative. So that's one reason for the salt. There's other reasons. I think we could think of the salt in the New Testament, what that really means too. Then in verses 4 through 7, it talks about differences of grain offerings made in the oven, the griddle, and the pan. So again, just showing the nitty-gritty details that God commands. And again, chapter 2, verses 2 and 9, both of them end saying, as an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. So very similar to the burnt offering, soothing aroma. And then the drink offering was just poured out. It was either poured on the altar or on the side of the altar. I even read it could have been poured on the ground. That's found in Numbers 15. The New Testament references the drink offering. I'm not going to talk much about that, but Paul said he was like a drink offering, just poured out. And then in Leviticus 2:14 through 16, it talks about first fruits. So if we look at 14 and 16 through 16, also if you bring a grain offering of early ripened things to the Lord, you shall bring fresh heads of grain roasted in the fire.
Roots of new growth
for the grain offering of your early ripened things. You shall then put oil on it and lay incense on it. It is a grain offering. The priest shall offer up in smoke its memorial portion, part of its grits and its oil with all its incense as an offering by fire to the Lord. All right, first fruit. So first fruit of death, we know who that was. And we're going to talk about that one coming up. So, yes? Yeah.
Every time I drive by it, it's such a pleasant smell. It's not like.
Yeah.
I associate it with death with birds. Because I love it. And so I just think about God smelling
it. Yep. Another example would be driving past a Burger King and smelling that. Yeah. But yeah, it makes you feel good, right? A soothing aroma. It makes you feel good. It makes you happy. Okay. So that's all I had for to talk about for the grain meal and drink offering. Any additional discussion on those topics? Yeah.
I think about when we cook a steak. It's been dead for at least hours, days, weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's been preserved somehow. But I'm thinking about surgery smells. That's fresh meat. So I wonder if the meat does change from a barbecue versus fresh in the blood, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, these are detailed logistics. We weren't there. It's hard to say. Yeah. They were kind of like the surgeons of their day, really, right?
Because they had to chop up a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. The logistics are just, they're just hard to put your wrap your head around, the logistics of how this worked. But the bottom line, the ultimate thing is God took care of his people. That's really what it came down to. All right, so we only have 5 minutes. We're not going to finish today, which is fine. I appreciate the discussion. This is great. But let's talk about the peace or fellowship offering. We'll get started. We'll get as far as we can in 5 minutes. And then next week, we'll start wherever we leave off. And then next week, we'll talk about what all this meant in terms of Jesus, how it pointed to Jesus in the New Testament. Okay? So, peace and fellowship offering is found in Leviticus chapter 3, the entire chapter of 17 verses. Again, we're not going to read it. I'll just point out a few things. The purpose is not stated, but it signified that all was well in the relationship between God and his people. Therefore, fellowship. It always came last when offered in a series of other kinds of offerings. In essence, if you think about this peace or fellowship offering, it's kind of like sharing a meal with God, okay? And we'll talk about the details of what I mean there. But let me read again from the commentary this passage about why it came last. It says, the order, burnt offering followed by fellowship offering, is theologically significant. It indicates that the atonement that resulted from the burnt offering was essential before the fellowship offering, which indicates fellowship with God could be enjoyed. This correlates to New Testament theology, where the death of Christ for our sins is the basis for sinners to have a relationship and hence fellowship with God. Okay? It's deep. So basically, in order to have fellowship, the offerer had to be straight and had to have his relationship right with God in order to have the fellowship with God. And that's what Jesus does for us today. Right? You're right. Yeah. It can be male or female with no defects. Still has to be no defects. So this is one of the few offerings that could have a female. Fellowship offering, peace offering. So this one provided food to be eaten by the priests and the offerer, and God got his portion. So that's why I think it's named fellowship offerings, because everybody got a piece of this animal, and they all got to eat it together. Yes, even the offerer, to be eaten by the priests and the offerer. The animal sacrifice, part of it was burned on the altar, part of it was eaten by the priests, as well as the offer. Again, it's sharing a meal with God. Again, kind of like in the other offering, the burnt offering, it talks about, it breaks it up into the herd, the flock, and this time goats. Where the burnt offering was about birds, this one just talks about the goats. So let me just read Leviticus 3:3-4. From the sacrifice of the peace offerings, he shall present an offering by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails, and all the fat that is on the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, which is on the loins, and the lobe of the liver, which he shall remove with the kidneys. Wow. Okay, so they're doing massive surgery here, and all of that I just read is offered to God on the altar. And those are the parts you probably wouldn't eat anyway. Let's see, what else? Okay, the blood was handled in the same manner as the burnt offering, where the priest would sprinkle it on the altar. And the flesh was eaten the same day as the offering by the priests and the offerer. And that's found in Leviticus chapter 7. All right, so this is, how much time? Are we out of time? Okay. Okay, so we're going to stop there. And what's there's a couple things that are interesting, and then about this particular offering, and then we will talk about the New Testament application. And then this is what we talked about today, the burnt offering, the grain or meal offering, and the peace or fellowship offering. And then next week we'll talk about that gray block. And everything, again, all of this points to Jesus, and we'll talk about that next week. Okay? So thank you for your participation, and that was great. Excellent discussion. Thank you, everyone.